अर्थात हिज धनम वेल्थ शनाई ही ग्रेजुअली ततः देन अधनम पुअर त्यजंती अबैंडन अस्य हिज स्वजनाः रिलेटिव्स एंड फ्रेंड्स दुख दुखितम हू सफर्स वन डिस्ट्रेस आफ्टर अनदर. Translation, and then we'll continue the purport. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead said, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. Purport. So we'll continue from where His Grace Dayanidhi Prabhu stopped yesterday. But if the Lord is so compassionate to His devotees, why does He expose them to special suffering? This is answered by an analogy. A very affectionate father takes the responsibility of restricting his children's play and making them go to school. He knows that this is a genuine expression of his love for them, even if the children fail to understand. Similarly, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is mercifully strict with all his dependents, not only with immature devotees struggling to become qualified. Even perfect saints like Prahlad, Dhruva and Yudhishthir were subjected to great tribulations, all for their glorification. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Sri Bhishma Dev described to King Yudhishthir his wonder at this. Yatta dharma suto raja gada panir vrukodaraha krishno astri gandivam Krishna stri gandhi vamchapam suhrut krishna stato vipat nahiyasya karhi chidrajan puman veti vidhichitam yad vijitnyasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. So Bhishmatev describes, oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthir, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 9, Text 15 and 16. Although a Vaishnava's happiness and distress are felt as pleasure and pain, just like ordinary karmic reactions, they are different in a significant sense. Material happiness and distress arising from karma leave a subtle residue, the seed of future entanglement. Such enjoyment and suffering tend towards degradation and increase the danger of falling into hellish oblivion. Happiness and distress generated from the Supreme Lord's desires, however, leave no trace after their immediate purpose has been served. Moreover, the Vaishnava who enjoys such reciprocation with the Lord is in no danger of falling down into nishayans. As Yamaraj, the Lord of Death and the Judge of all departed souls declares, Jihva na vakti bhagavad guna namadheyam cetas chanas smaratita charanaravindam krishnaya no namati yachirat ekadapi dan anayadvam asato krata vishnu krityan. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 29. The beloved devotees of the Lord do not regard as very troublesome the suffering He imposes upon them. Indeed, they find that in the end it gives rise to unlimited pleasure. Just as a stinging ointment applied by a physician cures the patient's infected eye. In addition, suffering helps protect the confidentiality of devotional service by discouraging intrusions by the faithless. And it also increases the eagerness with which the devotees call upon the Lord to appear. If the devotees of Lord Vishnu were complacently happy all the time, He would never have a reason to appear in this world as Krishna, Ramachandra, Narasimha and so on. As Krishna Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And without the Lord showing Himself on earth in His original form of Krishna and in the forms of various incarnations, His faithful servants in this world would have no opportunity to enjoy His Rasalila and other pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti here counters a possible objection. What fault would there be in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? The learned Acharya responds, "Yes, my dear brother, this makes good sense. But you are not an expert in understanding the spiritual moods. Please listen. It is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. During the hot summer, the cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, that warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in the darkness and not in the glaring light of the day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. In other words, to strengthen his devotee's mood of dependence on Him and longing for Him, the Lord arranges for His devotees to go through some suffering. And when He appears in order to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless." Om ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupah kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the outset, I would like to beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here. This verse is something, I mean, generally when there are some disclaimer or terms and conditions apply, they are very, in very small fine print somewhere at the bottom of the document. But I would like to say that this is in bold capitals, underline, right at the beginning of the document, that I am most unqualified to be speaking on such an exalted verse. I don't have the qualification, but because it's an instruction from the authorities, and by doing so, by attempting to speak something on the subject matter, maybe sometime in the future, by all your blessings and blessings of Srila Prabhupada coming down to the parampara, all the acharyas, maybe sometime in some future lifetime, I don't know when, some of this mood will be imbibed by me. So, having said that, this verse, when I first read the purport that Prabhupada has written and the translation, it's an amazing translation. Many times, many people we meet, they are little scared. Yeah? When you give them Bhagavad Gita, they have this idea that, you know, if you become, somehow there is this idea that when you become devotee, then you have to give up something. You have to give up so many things. You lose so many things. You lose so many things which people take for granted. So many activities that you can't do, so many foodstuffs that you cannot eat, so many things that you just cannot do. And then, many times people have this experience that after somebody has become a devotee, maybe they have become materially impoverished also. They have got some kind of experience of that sort. That person lost a lot of his wealth, or maybe he didn't do well in business. Something happened, his business failed. So people have this kind of thing that too much bhakti also is like, you know, don't get too much into it. Yes, nice, we'll come for satsang. Don't get too much into it. You get too much into it and then, you know, your life, you lose your life. You know, then, as I say, life khatam ho jayega. So for them, what Prabhupada talks in the purport today is the answer to all these people. This is the answer. So I was just wondering, if we don't see, generally, you know, we have this experience that it is very easy to misle the common people by giving example quoted out of context from the scriptures. Like our His Grace Govind Prabhu, he has all these series of lectures about so many misconceptions people have about various pastimes in the Mahabharata. And he has given a series of lectures, and maybe he has come out with a couple of books also about that. So many misconceptions from the Mahabharata. Because those pastimes which have happened with the devotees of the Lord, like the Pandavas, they are quoted out of context. See how they are so much close friends of Krishna, and see how much they suffered in their life. So if you become devotee of Krishna, you are going to end up suffering like all the Pandavas suffered. It's very easy to quote out of context. So unless we see these pastimes which we read about the devotees of the Lord from the Bhagavatam, from the Mahabharata, unless we see them through the, you know, generally, I like this example of a prism. When we see outside, whatever we see light, white light, we see it as white light. But when it passes through the prism, it is split into its component colors, seven colors. Same white light passes through the prism, on the other side you get it split into seven colors. So similarly, if we use the prism three-sided, We use the prism of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And then we try to understand these pastimes which are there in the Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, Mahabharata, Ramayana. Then we will be able to understand beyond the superficial aspects of these pastimes. We will be able to understand that what is actually happening in these pastimes is the reciprocation of the Lord with His devotees. We will be able to understand that how the Lord intervenes in the life of the devotees, of His devotees, in order for him, for them to come closer to Him, to attract even, to develop even strong, even more and stronger attraction for the Lord. So that is a direct intervention of the Lord in the life of the devotee. We will be able to understand that the Lord is doing this deliberately. It's not something out of chance. He is personally intervening in the lives of the devotee so that the relationship between the Lord and the devotee becomes more stronger. Their love for each other increases. And it's like a competition between the two, who loves the other the most. Whether the devotee loves the Lord more or the Lord loves the devotee more. It's like a transcendental tug of war, a competition between the two parties. So, I was just taking the help of my dear friend, His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, because he's so much immersed in Bhagavatam, it becomes much more easier. So, he suggested certain line. So, I like this particular thing that it is more the reciprocation of the Lord with the devotees. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Maharani talks about four things which make a person proud. And that are, they are Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribi. So one can be, and she says that one can be, one can easily approach the Lord only if they are materially exhausted. Tvam Akinchana Gocharam, in the same verse. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribi, Edamana, Madhapuman, Naivaratya Vidhatum, Vai, Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So she says, my Lord, your Lordship can be easily approached only by those who are materially exhausted, because one who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education and bodily beauty, cannot address you with sincere feeling. He cannot address you with sincere feeling. So, among these four, again, in the pastime where Narad Muni curses Nalakuver and Manigriva, Narad Muni says that among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of the riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, than taking birth in an aristocratic family, and then more, it bewilders more than being learned. So the biggest intoxication, so to say, is having riches or wealth. So Narad Muni says, when one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women and gambling. So Kunti Maharani gives us four options. Even there, Narad Muni focuses it down to just wealth. So therefore, if we try to look at why tad dhanam shanai? Why tad dhanam shanai? Why take away the wealth? Because the wealth of the four, a person is liable to get intoxicated by any of the four. Janma, high parentage. Janma, Aishwarya, that is wealth, opulence. Shruta, being highly learned, and Shri, being very beautiful. But Narad Muni says that no, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of the riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features. It bewilders one more than taking birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. So therefore, the Lord is focusing all his attention on that which causes the maximum intoxication, and therefore he says here, Shri Bhagavan, yasyaham anugrinnami harishye tad dhanam shanai. I take away all his wealth, material prosperity. Therefore, the specific word used here, dhanam. So, again, Vritrasur, he also touches on the same point when he is talking to Indra during their fight. And Vritrasur tells him that persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for such persons the Lord never bestows brilliant opulences of the upper, lower and middle planetary systems. The Lord never bestows opulences. This is what Vritrasur says. And when one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride and belligerence. Thus one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his position, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. So therefore, because the Lord is especially merciful upon his devotee, he doesn't want his devotee to go through all these things. We may feel, generally it's something like, it's very easy to say, there is a joke. Once there was a meeting between people of three countries. This is some few years, more than around 25-30 years ago, when the USSR was still in existence. So an American, a USSR, or a person from the USSR, and both of them met. So when the American said that, when it was asked to the American and the both of them, they were asked this question. Okay, so suppose you have a car, and your neighbor's car breaks down. So he asks, please, can I have your borrow your car for some? I have to go to some place. So will you give him his car? So the American says, I'll think about it. But mostly I won't give. If I had two cars, maybe I would give. But right now I have one car, so I won't give. And then he asked the person from USSR, would you give your car? Yes, definitely I will give him my car. So then the American felt a little embarrassed. He said, because there was a competition between the communists and the capitalists. So then next they asked, okay, so you have your TV at home and with your remote and everything. So suppose the neighbor says that he would like to borrow your TV for something. Would you like give your TV? The American says, no, never, I won't share my TV. It has all my special programs programmed in. All the channels are programmed. I cannot share it. And then the person from the USSR says, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely go and see. Please take. Then they ask, okay, so then the person from the, they are asked, both of them asked, both of y'all have a very nice pair of shoes, say. And then the neighbor asks, my shoes are broken today, can I borrow your shoes? So the American says, definitely not, I need my shoes. And then they ask the person from USSR, so will you share your shoes? He said, no way. So then everybody is bewildered. He said, we asked about the car and we asked about the TV. Shoes are so insignificant. Why are you so possessive about your shoes? Because then he said, because I have those shoes. I have shoes. So the point of the matter is, we might think that it's nice to talk about, that how having wealth, like Vritrasura is saying, that when one possesses material opulence in any of the three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, his anxiety, and mental agitation. So sometimes people think, maybe it is with others. Right now I don't have wealth, so let me get wealth, let me see if it happens like that. I don't have the wealth, so how I can say that? It will not happen like that with me. No, I won't have any enemies. I won't have sleepless nights. So right now I don't have. So why you are talking about all these things about mental anxiety increasing and so many things? It's not going to happen like that. I'll take care of it properly. I know how to handle money. Just send it. Send some in my way. I don't mind. Send some wealth my way. Like recently we have this experience with the Indian economy demonetization. Initially when it was announced, it was a big race for people to run and exchange their old currency notes and get the new currency notes. And there were so many discussions and talks going on that there was a 20% premium if you had a lot of excess old currency notes which you could not declare in public and you still want to get it exchanged. So there was like a premium. There was like 20%, 30%, it went up to 40%. So you pay 1 lakh of old currency notes and you would get 60,000 of new currency notes. And then just yesterday somebody was telling me that now the situation is reversed. Now the situation is such that you give say 1 lakh of old currency notes and you get back premium, you get 5% more. So you get 1,05,000 more in new currency notes. So people are, that old currency notes are still in, I don't know how it works. I don't claim to be an expert, but that's what some expert told me. And you know, there are people who are in anxiety. Oh, why did I exchange my old notes so early? I should have waited now, no? I would have got more. So it's like, you know, it's always like this. I don't have right now. So if I have maybe all this, what you are talking about, Rudrasura and all, why I'll have enmity? I'll just enjoy life, I'll chill. But it's a concomitant factor. It just comes, it's a package deal. We cannot, when you pick up a coin, you cannot say that I'll just pick up the heads part. You pick up the heads part, the tails comes along with it. We cannot separate the two. Similarly, all this which Vritrasura is talking about, that the possessions naturally increase enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride and belligerence. So this is a package deal. It comes along with it. So therefore, the Lord especially focuses on tad dhanam shanai. And it is not that the Lord always reduces dhanam. It's not that. The Lord is so, we just cannot understand how, of course, like this, many times people accuse us that, you know, when we try to ask you something about the pastimes and you cannot answer it, then you have your Brahmastra, you have your supreme weapon. That this is, what is the supreme weapon? This is Achintya. Lord's pastimes are Achintya. You have a supreme weapon. You just use one word and then that's it. You don't have to answer anything more about it. If you don't understand, you don't say you don't understand. You just say it's Achintya. Like even there is that word, Achintya khalue bhava, natam starke na yojayet. It's scriptural. His answer is scriptural. You cannot understand by logic and reasoning the pastimes of the Lord. It's not possible. And there is a very good reason why it is like that. What is the reason? Because if we, with our minuscule, with our infinitesimal intelligence and ability to logic, if we are able to logic and reason out every problem, every query in this world, we are able to give answers to every question, then that's what is one of the definitions of God. And again, there is only one, there is only one position, and that position is already filled. So therefore, with our minuscule intelligence, with our infinitesimal intelligence, we cannot understand the ways in which the Lord works. How His intelligence is so vast, how it works. So basically, as I said in the beginning, the whole purpose is just to bring the devotee closer to Him. It is a reciprocation between the Lord, a transcendental competition, we can say a transcendental tug of war. Who loves the other more? That's what happens. And in order to increase that reciprocation, increase that feeling of love, the Lord acts in different ways. Like a case that comes to my mind is the from Bhagavatam, we have two separate pastimes, one of Bali Maharaj and the other with Sudama Brahman. Amazing pastimes, both of them. In both the pastimes, if you see, Bali Maharaj, he was attached to wealth. So called. Of course, he comes in the lineage of Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee. But still, if you see, so called, he was attached to wealth, apparently. And Sudama was averse to wealth. Like in South India, Sudama is more known as Kujaila Brahman. He is never known by his name Sudama. Kujaila Brahman. But actually that Kujaila is a Sanskrit word which is an adjective for his appearance. Kujaila. He is very badly dressed. Very shabbily dressed. Kujaila. He is very shabbily dressed. Shabbily in the sense, it shows that Sudama was more comfortable wearing his poverty. He was wearing his poverty. So he was averse to wealth. So Bali Maharaj, he was proud of his wealth. He was proud of his possessions. He was proud of his being the, he had even conquered over the demigods, controller of all the three worlds. And on the other hand, Sudama was proud of his poverty. So Bali Maharaj, he offered everything. That means the Lord only asks patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. So Bali Maharaj offered all the patram, all the pushpam, all the phalam, all the toyam, everything which is there in all entire universe to the Lord. And then the Lord's reciprocation with Bali Maharaj was disproportionate to what was offered to him. What did the Lord offer to him? What was the Lord's reciprocation? Yes? The Lord offered himself, but basically if we see from an apparent perspective, the Lord became a doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj. So the Lord's response to Bali Maharaj's offering, apparently, Bali Maharaj offering the entire universe, the patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam in the entire universe to the Lord, and the Lord is reciprocating by becoming doorkeeper. On the other hand, Sudama, he offered just some chipped rice. Even that, he didn't himself possess. He had to go out, beg it from his neighbors, beg for it, and then he got that and he offered it to the Lord. So this is what Sudama gave. And we know what was the Lord's reciprocation with Sudama. How again, it was absolutely disproportionate to the offering that Sudama had offered to the Lord. So Krishna, the way he reciprocates with both of them, apparently for Bali Maharaj, tad dhanam shanai. And for Sudama, again, we see actually there is no tad dhanam shanai. Wealth increased for Sudama. Wealth increased. But that is wealth which we consider to be wealth. Sudama did not consider this material wealth in terms of possessions to be his wealth. For Sudama, his wealth was his poverty. His situation as a very impoverished... Not mine, no, mera nahi na. Sorry. No, not mine. So for Sudama, his wealth was, or his pride was, that he was so impoverished. He was a Brahmana who was very impoverished. And the Lord, in his own deep way of reciprocating with his devotees, in order to increase that loving sentiment, in order to increase that feeling of who, how I can get this devotee more closer to me. For Sudama, he gives him all wealth. He gives him all material opulence which are, I mean, for him, Lakshmiji, Rukmini had to hold his hand when he was about to take more of that chipped rice. He said, if you take more of this, then I have to go and work, I will have to be a maid servant to Sudama if you do this. So that was the extent to which the Lord gave him material opulence, so-called material opulence. But for Sudama, that was not opulence. So therefore, the Lord understands each and every individual devotee's innermost core, and accordingly, he performs such a perfect surgery. Like nowadays, we have all these techniques like laparoscopic surgery, and then you have keyhole surgery, very small incision is made, and then you catheter is inserted, and then you know later on there's no sign even that you had undergone any surgery. So for the Lord there's no incision also. But still he goes to the exact point where the surgery needs to be done, and he does the surgery so that the loving reciprocation with his devotees goes on increasing. It just goes on increasing. So therefore, we should understand that it is not a question of whether it is dhanam shanai. Of course, dhanam is there where it is required. But basically, the whole mood is the Lord increases, or rather, he does the needful. He does the needful in order for the devotee to progress to in his devotional service to the Lord. So even in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord gives us an example of his disproportionate reciprocation which he promises to all the living entities. When the Lord says, Neha Bhrikkam Rasosti Pratyavayo Na Vidyate Swalpa Mopyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Like we in our preaching we use this very often. Just ek bar mahamantra bol do. You know, like Prabhupada took it to the even to such an extent, he show them the book. Let them touch the book. Their devotional service has started. Let them touch the book. Everybody touch the book, they can read one page, one line, devotional service has started. So that is a characteristic which the pure devotees of the Lord exhibit, where they extend this disproportionate reciprocation of the Lord to all the living entities. And then there is another aspect to it. Another aspect to this Yasyaham Anugrinami Harishye Tad Dhanam Shanai. Special effects. Oh, should I continue on this theme or I don't know. Was that a warning to me? So there is another aspect of the Lord wanting to have the spotlight shine on his devotee. The Lord wants that the devotee should shine. There should be a spotlight on his devotee. And how, from the pages of scriptures, when we understand how when the Lord is reciprocating with the devotee, how the devotee is reciprocating. And by, first of all, that itself is so purifying. And more importantly, we understand that it's a process of learning for all us as conditioned soul. So we understand that how we should take reverses in life, in our own life. Of course, it's a matter of personal realization for each of us in our own evolution, in our spiritual life. But still, the first time I had read this verse, Harishye, Yasyaham Anugrinnami Harishye Taddhanam Shanai, was practically the first day when I met a devotee. And he gave me Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. I'll never forget. He gave me Prabhupada Lilamrit, and I was reading this Lilamrit, and I was like, you know, practically trying to do it cover to cover on that day. And I remember reading this when Prabhupada suffered reverses in his business. Prabhupada laughs, and he says, and he remembers this verse and he chants it out loud. Yasyaham Anugrinnami Harishye Taddhanam Shanai. So, I have to admit that when I read that, I said, how can it be? You know, he is such a nice person, such a nice devotee of the Lord. Why is he suffering? Why is he suffering this business loss, Why people are not, his employees are not working properly? Why is this happening with him? But then, from that particular pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand how the devotees of the Lord, just like how the devotees of the Lord in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly how the devotees of the Lord, even in this world, you know, walking among us, even now, how they respond. Like, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, how a person responds to provoking situations. What is that? Greatness of a person can be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So, for us to be able to have that, to come to that particular level of realization and to be able to imbibe and to be able to actually practice, first of all we should know. First step is to know how the devotees respond. And therefore, we have all these various pastimes in from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. A few which come to my mind is very first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, Narad Muni, small boy. He is a small boy and he loses his mother. His mother dies due to a snake bite. And how does he respond to it? He says that I took it as a special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees, and so thinking I started for the north. Started for the north means the Shottare, I went to in search of the Lord. So this is a, we can see how the devotees reciprocate when, I mean, we have so many seminars on this topic, obstacles as a stepping stones to the path of success. So these are actually, all such stepping stones are strewn throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. How devotees made apparently reverse, means obstacles or apparently reverses in their life into opportunities to progress in their devotional service better. Another example is Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he is cursed, he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse due to my being too much attached to family life. Now this is Parikshit Maharaj, who is in the family lineage of the Pandavas. He is saying that he is too much attached to family life. The Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. So this is like, you know, faint traces of what Lord Brahma expresses in his prayers of Tattenu Kampam, Susamikshamano. Not that, oh, why I am suffering. He says, actually what I am suffering is nothing. I deserve much more. So this is again and again we see in the pages of Bhagavatam that devotees express sentiments like this, that I deserve much more. What I am experiencing is nothing. Chitraketu Maharaj again. Chitraketu Maharaj, when he is cursed by Mother Parvati, he says that my dear mother, with my own hands folded together, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse, for happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds. Then Bali Maharaj, when he is, you know, all his wealth is taken away, he is one of the past personalities who has this dhanam shanai. So his response is, although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this, like the Lord punished Bali Maharaj. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. And we have Avanti Brahman, he says that these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods or my body, the planets, my past. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness, distress and perpetuates the rotation of mind. So, throughout we see, and actually this is my opinion, others can have their own perspectives to this. But for me, the crest jewel of all the devotees who have had such reciprocation with the Lord, the crest jewel, or as they say, that which takes the prize, is Kunti Maharani. When she says, Vipada Santuta Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yasyada Punar Bhav Darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So, for a person on the street or for somebody who doesn't understand or doesn't see through the prism of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, this is a very cruel verse. How can your God do this? How can He make you impoverished? But for somebody who tries to see or tries to understand through this prism of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and understands that there is much more than what is apparent, much more deeper the motive behind whatever the Lord, whatever you experience in our life, maybe sometimes to the direct intervention of the Lord in case of pure devotees, but otherwise through certain other means. That's like we say, generally, for a devotee, even though he is still in his material body and in his devotional practice, he may still experience ill health, suffering due to ill health. He may still experience so many other things which are related to this body. But because the devotee, he doesn't actually experience it as pain. Because for him, even though there is pain, the thing is, it is being arranged by the Lord so that he can advance further. Like Prabhupada would say this, for a devotee, death is never very fearful. Devotee is never fearful of death. Because for one moment, he is with the devotees, and the next moment, after he leaves his body, Krishna is standing in front of him. So for a devotee, death is an opportunity to meet Krishna. We are going to meet Krishna face to face. And for me, I have had the good fortune of seeing one particular personality to leave his body in this fashion, right here, His Grace Stoka Krishna Prabhu. Amazing personality. He was apparently in a very painful situation, but he never expressed that. Even like His Grace Sikshashtak Prabhu, in a recent video he sent, some devotees circulated, he was remembering about Sikshashtak Prabhu in his last days. And he was saying that even in the last moments, his whole focus and his whole concern was how he could serve the other devotees, how he could serve his God brothers. Even he was not able to move from his bed, but still his whole focus was how I can help others, how I can serve others. That was his mood. So apparently for somebody who is observing as a third person, he is in lot of pain. He is in terminal stages of cancer. But still his mood was completely different. He wanted to render some service. He was expressing his desire, even though he could not even speak. Through actions he was expressing. So it was a very emotional way in which Sikshashtak Prabhu expressed this. But for me, that is what the whole thing here is. That if we have to understand verses like this, it is not through our own intelligence. It's something we have to understand through the prism of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then we will be able to understand it. That white light will be split into its component parts. Similarly, we will be able to understand properly. Because the Lord is so personal, as we say, Krishna consciousness is a very personal moment. So the Lord epitomizes this personal interaction with His devotees. He is actually epitome of these personal dealings. So, as many as living entities are there, for all these living entities, the Lord has a very personal way of reciprocating. And unless we understand the whole picture, we will not be able to really understand what it means when it says here, when the Lord Himself says here, Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tad dhanam shanai. So this was a very humble attempt on my part to be able to, for my own purification, to be able to understand. And if I have any errors, any corrections, any comments, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, you all can correct me. Of course, all the devotees from the Vidyapeet also, you are all exalted, very greatly learned. I feel ashamed sitting on the Vyasasan here. Yes, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Corrections and comments, I hope.
The verse and your presentation are the impetus for me to speak. One place Prabhupada writes that sometimes a devotee is in illusion of material relationships. And material relationships, the foundation of material relationship is material sense gratification. And the foundation of material sense gratification is wealth. So if he removes the foundation, the whole building collapses. And then reality is seen for what it is. And then, because the devotee is sincere, naturally, what is left of is Krishna, and therefore he connects. And also, one more point that came in Bali Maharaja's same Janmaishwari Sudarshi is explained. There, it says, for one level of devotee, he takes away. At another level, he awards that wealth. And that wealth is not material wealth, but that is personally given by the Lord. In case, whether it is Sudama or Bali Maharaj's wealth of Sutala Loka's opulence. So, these are the two points. So that wealth is personally awarded. So it is not according to the karma. So it's just both ways. Snatching away and giving also. Both are personal reciprocation. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, bro. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.